Right. We're in Masechet Sanhedrin. On page 29a, Kaf Tet, Amud Aleph, at the bottom of the page, learning about witnesses, the procedure for examining witnesses, and whether we believe witnesses, what the witnesses have to tell us in order to be believed, and what, if they say other things, do we believe them? When do we believe them? What do they need to say that's believable, or what things do we discount? That's the sugya that we're learning. So, we learned yesterday that a person who admits that he owes someone money, even if he admits it in the presence of the lender, he admits to the lender says to him, you owe me 100 shekels, you right? And he says, yeah. But he doesn't appoint two witnesses. Even though two witnesses saw that, and they come to court and they make a claim, we were there, and he asked him, don't you owe me 100 shekels? The guy said to him, yeah, I do. The court can choose not to believe that testimony if the defendant says he was joking. The defendant makes a claim that I was just joking. Then we believe the defendant.
So does the defendant need to appoint witnesses, or does the lender need to appoint witnesses?
So in this case, no one appointed. In this case, no one appointed the witnesses, and therefore the testimony that the witnesses happened to be there and they heard it is not valid. However, if they were appointed by someone, it's machloket about who appoints them, but right. If they were appointed in some fashion and they had that same testimony, then they would be believed.
Because we see later on whether they're appointed behind a curtain where people are sleeping or in a cemetery, they're not believed.
So we'll get to those cases and see what happens in those cases. In this case, what we're saying is that the person who says he was joking is believed so long as no witnesses were appointed. If witnesses were appointed, then clearly he couldn't have been joking. And we don't believe him that he says he was joking. But if he says he was joking and there were no witnesses appointed, even though two witnesses happened to be there and heard what was going on, then we do believe him. Okay. Tov. So, we are now on the bottom of the page, Amar Abai, the last line. Amar Abai, Lo Shanu, they didn't teach this law, meaning the law we just learned about being able to say that you were joking. Lo Shanu Ella de Meshate Anibacha. We only say this where. Party going on now. I'm sure it's L'shem Shemayim. So, only this law applies only where he says, "I was joking with you." Aval, Amar, if he said over the page, "Lo hayu devarim me'olam," if the defendant claims, "it never happened."
What?
It's your fault.
I start with it. I continue with it. He said, "Katuv shnei yachat tachat mitriya achar." So I told him it's katuv in Baba Kama.
That's what I'm arguing about.
No, he said he mentioned it, but he said katuv. Shnenu yachat mitriya achat. Tachat mitriya achat. You know what it means. It's a song.
It's a
song. It's a song, so I told him, it's written in Baba Kama.
That's what I'm arguing about now. Arguing Rashi Tosfot, whether or not the... whether we hold that way. Whether we hold. Top. Anyway. Yopi. So, If, right, so what happened? So the same scenario, right? One guy says to the other, you owe me 100 shekels. The other one says, yes. You're right, I do. If they come to court later, and two witnesses say, we were there, we saw it. So it depends what the defendant argues. If the defendant claims, I was just joking. So we believe the defendant, and we let him off. If the defendant says, nah, it never happened. He never said anything to me. I don't know what you heard, but it never happened. Then, chuzchat kafaran. He is established, he's got a chazaka, established, he's got a chazaka, assumed to be a kapara, a kafran, a liar, kofet.
Isn't that really strong?
No, he just went against two witnesses. We believe the two witnesses against him. He's the one defending the fact that he doesn't owe any money. So if he's got no witnesses, and two witnesses came along and say, you said that you owed the money, and he said, nah, it never happened, now, I don't know what they're talking about. So he's lying. We believe the two witnesses against him. And we don't say that this is the Gemara is showing here what's the line between we always in each of the law in every Gemara there's a line, right? Some of them are obvious, right? Some of the line sometimes the law is based on a date, right? It's a fixed line. But other times the law is not based on a factual obvious circumstance. It's based on, like here, what he said. So here we have the two points of reference. If he said I was joking, we accept that. If he said it never happened, so I don't accept that. There are two references for whether we believe the defendant when he's got two witnesses against him that weren't explicitly approved. If they were explicitly approved, they believed whatever they said. They're the witnesses, they're believed completely. But if they're not explicitly approved, when do I believe them and not him? So it depends. Depends on the case. So here, why? So we believe the person that he was joking, because we said before, a person sometimes wants to show that he's not wealthy, that he owes money to other people. Right? So it's reasonable, or it's possible anyway, for him to say such a thing and to be joking about it. Because he doesn't mean it. But when he says it never happened, so he has no, according to the Tanakhama, the first opinion here, we're going to see another opinion in a minute, but the first opinion says there's no grounds for saying, there's no reason why we should believe him when he says it never happened. But the Gemara provides an alternative opinion, Amara Papa Abdurei Duravacha Ba'ada, Hachiam Rinan, Mishmeh Durava. What we just said now, no, what we're about to say now, Hachem Riman, this is what was said in the name of Rava. Kol mile de kedi lo de kire inche. All words of meaningless, lo de kire inche, people do not remember. So what's he saying? He's saying here, Rava's saying here, it is possible that we can believe him. When the defendant claims that never happened, I never said that I owed the money. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember saying that at all. It never happened. We can believe him. We can believe he's not necessarily made a liar. Because it's possible that he forgot. It's possible that he forgot because he made a statement in jest, according to the footnote. And Rava comes to tell us that statements which a person makes in jest, he doesn't remember them because they weren't of importance to him. If he really owed the money, then it's an important statement. I'm going to remember that I told someone I owe money, right? That's an important statement. But if I was just fooling around, so I don't remember everything that I said when I was fooling around, I may have said it was just a joke. I don't remember saying it because I wasn't paying attention to it. It wasn't important for me. I didn't register it. And that's why he didn't remember it. So the fact that he says he didn't remember or it never happened, Rava says you can't establish him as a liar because of that. What's the difference? Here we're saying that we don't believe him. Meaning he got it wrong. So what's a nafkamina? If he says it never happened, we still have two witnesses and we believe the two witnesses. It did happen. but we can now believe that you did say it, but it might have been in jest. Or we can believe, or the other alternative, because he's not established as a liar, so even though we believe that the debt exists, but he's not lying when he said it, we don't disbelieve him for future testimony. So for example, he says the debt exists, but then there's an argument about how much it is. So we can believe him. He's not established to be a liar. So if we establish that there was a debt, we're not sure how much, and he says no, it was only 50 shekels, someone says no, it was 100. So we don't discount his testimony because he's not an established liar. But if he was an established liar, based on the first opinion, then we wouldn't believe him later on when he comes to say how much the money it was actually belong, how much debt it was. Okay, good. Yeah. Yes. No. What? He translates it as meaningless. Meaningless.
The meaningless things we don't, people don't remember.
Dvarim shelchinam. Yeah. Kloma ha'ol va'ota hoda'a divrei ruach ayu mihashta go lo tekirei in shei v'shachach ota hoda'a. Okay. Next incident. Ahu. There was this guy. The Akmin Lay Adim, who hid witnesses. Lachavre Bekilte, for his friend Bekilte. It means the curtains. In the curtains. Kilte, Uriah, Rashi says, Uriah, Hapur Pusa. Svivot hamita.
Curtains
that surround the bed.
Vilon.
I don't know what's. Obviously, that's meaningful that Rashi has to tell us there's particular types of curtain that surround a bed, but top, whatever that means. But anyway, they were hiding behind the curtains. Why they happen to be there anywhere else?
Well, he doesn't.
That's relevant, but we just don't know why that's relevant. It could be curtains, any curtains. The fact that there were curtains that surround a bed. Apparently, to my ear, to our ear, I don't want to speak on it, or relevant additional information. Who cares where the curtains were? It's got nothing to do with the story. So, but they were curtains surrounding the bed. There is obviously relevance to that, otherwise Rashi wouldn't have come and told us that these are curtains that surround a bed. In the bedroom, I don't know.
You know, it keeps warm.
What they're doing in it, but although also plus in the old days, right? You only had one room anyway. It was the kitchen, the living room, the bedroom, everything, the bathroom, well, everything. Right?
The bathroom was that side.
I might have a bath in there. A bath.
Yeah.
Would have been inside it. Thanks for the fire. I know, Tov. Awesome there. Tov, if you go to Katzrin, you can visit. Have you been to Katzrin up north? Near Tiberia? Near Tiberius? Katzrin.
Katzrin.
In the Golan. They have Katzrin has a preserved or kind of remade old village where they have houses and how it used to look. Like with the in Katzrin, with the beds and like the ones that you see, they talk about, right? And it's all in one room, and there's like a little. So it's very nice to go and see. Makes this kind of come to life a little bit.
So how many square meters is that?
Not a lot. You don't get much for your money in Katzrin these days. Furnishings are a bit low as well. Anyway, tough. So they were hiding behind the bed curtains. There was this guy who hid two witnesses. Right, to because he knew that the guy wasn't giving him mitzvah. But I want some witnesses that he owes me the money. So, sounds like a... Nowadays you have to change the Gemara, obviously. And there was this guy who hid his MP3 in his pocket and recorded... Right? He does that. We need different, different stuff. Anyway.
The Kivra.
Well, no, that's the next one.
Kufbet?
Kufbet?
Resh? Kivra?
Kufbet Resh Alas. Kivra.
Kivra.
He has the word he runs
a lot. Kivra. Yeah. Rashi says, Yuriya Boris is
a little right. He writes on the Kivra. No. Maybe in the tomb.
The first one is the bed sheets. The second one, the second example is in the graveyard.
That's the second example.
Ah, that's second.
Right.
The
two examples. Okay.
Okay. So that's the next one. Next one's in the graveyard.
Sorry,
okay. Tov. So this is the first one. So he hides the two friends behind the curtain, right? Amalei, and he says to him, Mana li biyadcha. Right? This Mana li biyadcha is a common phrase. We came across it before. Five lines down, kaftet, amudbet, top page. Right, mana li biyadecha. A mana is 100 zuz. You owe me a mana. You owe me 100 zuz. Mana li, my mana is in your hands. Amar lehen, he said to him, yes. Yofi. Right, now at this stage it's not enough. Right. If we go back to our original example, just because a person admitted having a loan, and if there were two people who weren't behind the curtain, they were sitting there supping tea, right, while he was saying it, it's not enough. Right? We learned it's not enough, because he can claim later, we're just joking. So the fact there were two witnesses, it's not enough. Doesn't matter if they're behind the curtain at this stage. We haven't seen where the rest of the sugi goes. But at this stage, it's not enough just to say... You owe me 100 zuz, and you say yes, and there's two guys here listening. Doesn't help, whether they be in front of the curtain, behind the curtain, under the curtain, doesn't matter. Right, we learned that, and they weren't behind the curtain. Right, we learned that when they were in front of, right, when you could see them.
Right, but
they
even,
weren't hidden. Even. When they weren't hidden, it didn't help. So now for sure, when they are hidden,
it won't
Kalbachomer won't help. Right? Yeah? So far, no. What are we saying? What's the situation? Huh?
They're not hidden. The person might be not so willing to speak.
Exactly. So and if he says it in front of them, and it's no good, Kal Vachomer, when he says it and the people are hidden,
it's for sure
it's no good.
He speaks the truth.
But he wouldn't speak the truth in front of people who are going to witness and are going to go to court and tell on him? No, the more so he's going to speak the truth when people are listening and can witness it and can say that you said that.
Not to be his witness.
Yeah, to go against him. So all the more so, right? So all the more so we should be believed when there were two witnesses in front of him. He's likely to be telling the truth. He's got witnesses there. Right? He's going to be called on it.
Who has the witnesses? The person who's saying yes?
The one who wants to prove that there's a debt. The one who wants to let the money. Yeah.
Right.
The one who wants to prove there's a debt.
Right,
so if the other guy says yes.
He's not going to say yes if the people around.
So if he says yes, yeah, when there are people around, and he's still not believed in court because he could claim that he was joking. That's why it's not. That's why we don't have. That's why we don't necessarily believe. We could be, but he could say he's joking. Then for sure, if those two guys weren't in front of him but were hidden
by the person,
right? Even all the more so, we wouldn't believe him. We wouldn't believe that he. We would believe him to say he was joking. We would believe the borrower when he says he didn't mean it. Because there's no witness, there was no one even there to prove it.
But they were hidden.
But all the more so, he wouldn't lie. He's more likely to lie when they're hidden.
He doesn't know
he's more likely to lie when they're hidden because he can't see them. So he's more likely to lie. There's only you and me here. I can lie and tell you what I like. But if it's in front of people, I'm less likely to lie.
And especially since he knows they're witnesses.
If there's just two people, you and me.
He's not lying, he's telling the truth.
No, we're saying that he might be lying. We're saying that he can get out of it because he can say he was joking. It's not really true. I don't actually owe you any money.
No, just keep on reading and you'll get it.
They have these hidden people, they go up to someone who tried to get the truth out of him, and then the guy's wired and everything, and then the witnesses come out and heard it.
You're right, 100%.
But that's modern court. Right. Modern court is, what's the word?
But here we're comparing it. That's only where they would never say in front of anyone, right?
As an entrapment.
Yeah. Right. You owe me. Right. Right. Two scenarios. One. People are there. Two, people are hidden. By which one is, if B says yes, that's the scenario. Now, we learn that if people are there, and they go to court, and A says, I've got witnesses, he said yes, and B says to him,
I was joking.
What's the result? Right. Now, if the people are hidden, and we have the same scenario.
B.
The second. If the witnesses are hidden. Right? Behind the curtain. Right? Is he likely, and we go to court? Is he more or less likely, or is it that the judge is going to say, you know what, you're right. Do we believe him, his yes, or...
No, because he didn't know they were witnesses. Because they were hidden.
They were hidden. Didn't know they were there. He's more...
So it's more likely that he was just gesturing to blow the person away.
Right. People are more careful about what they say. Let's say the other way around. People are more careful about what they say when they know there's people in front of them. They're more careful. So in a case where they're more careful, and we still believe him when he was saying he was joking, for sure, Kal vachomer, we believe him when there's no reason to be careful. There's no one around. If we believe him when he's more careful, the people are there. Equals more careful, still believed to say I was joking. Here, less careful about what he says. No one here listening. Can say what I want. So all the more so, I can say I was joking. If I'm in a case where I'm less careful, then for sure, more so, believe you were joking. Okay, that is not crucial for the sugya, but I just wanted to show that inside of a part of the way the Gemara is working here. It's not crucial for the law, the learning, but
if there weren't people around, I would be less willing to say the truth.
If there weren't people around, I would be less. There are too many negatives. I would be less willing.
Likely to tell the truth.
I'd be more likely to lie.
Not to
and there were no people.
I'd be more likely, if there are no people around, I'd be more willing to admit that yes, you gave me the money, because you can't use that against me. There are no witnesses here. Well, why shouldn't I speak?
I hear.
Okay, but the other person says, a good way I can catch him to tell the truth is by his not knowing that there are witnesses here. There's nobody around. He'll admit to the truth. Is that a joke? Why should he joke just to me? It's not a joking matter.
Yeah, but if in this case he's saying, I hear you, but in this case he's saying yes. Right? He's saying yes. Right, so, but is that stronger than the same case where he said yes in front of two people? Surely it's stronger in the case of two people being there who knows he's going to be recorded, and I ask you the same question in front of those two people.
And I can say I was joking. I can't say that I was joking. Who am I joking to?
To right, you, keep, to him.
Keep on reading.
To him. No. This is the bit I want
to. No wonder, I'll tell you the truth. You can't use it in any way against me in court. If I say yes, if there's no witnesses. But if there are witnesses around, I was just joking. You think I'm so stupid? There are two people here who heard me say yes, and I'll do something.
But it's like a fool. I Davka said yes in front of two witnesses because I was joking. That's it.
Yeah, you expect me to. I'm joking about it. I'm not
going to
incriminate myself in front of witnesses.
I was joking.
All right,
could be.
And by the way, people know that the lawyer can say everything. He said.
That's why we don't believe lawyers.
He can prove that this is blue with green stripes.
In Beijing, it doesn't really go into Sanhedrin, but I think it touches on it somewhere. Lawyers are very, very different. They're very frowned upon in Beijing. Very frowned upon in Beijing.
What does it mean?
Very not liked. It's not. Lawyers.
The Beijing not like the.
It's not good. Like Shemayim doesn't like it. Beijing doesn't like it. They distort the truth. But it's better to have the two litigants and no one else. Right? And leave it the debate in to ask the questions and make the proof and do whatever. Once you've got lawyers in there, we have them now because that's also.
Remember what Shakespeare says.
No.
The first thing we do is kill the lawyers.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's my favorite line.
It's all right. I'm not anymore. You know that joke. What do you call 100 lawyers at the bottom of the sea?
A good start.
Yeah, right. I know.
Was it for a movie Shakespeare is dead?
No.
He died a while ago.
It's either Henry VIII, Henry III, I think it is.
Who?
Because it's a famous line. I use that thing all the time.
But
the Gemara mentioned lawyers,
you know?
Advocates. People who argue, I think.
Tony.
One story about Roncho, his own money.
Yeah.
But what I do on the Shabbos table is,
yes.
When they bring out the meat, I say, anyone we know, and it's from a line, stranger in a strange land, where they're serving the neighbor.
So remind me not to eat my year on Shabbos.
About human and life. It's like you're stealing. People are stealing the hide. He had fear for people, but not fear for Hashem.
All right.
But it's not the same. He has fear for people, but not fear for Hashem. When you know he's a liar.
Which one?
He's under the curtain.
Which one has fear of Hashem? B or A? Who's got fear of heaven and not fear of people?
No, I was thinking of eating the Arabs.
On the film, life, there's no fear
of heaven. Now he's alive.
Now, okay, he's a liar.
This is the original.
But if people under the curtain, he has fear of Hashem, but not fear of people. It's very difficult to find out he's a liar. He's a liar.
It just changed a little bit.
I can tell you something you believe. Oh, he's a good person. You don't know. You know what I mean?
I put the special.
I'm not sure which one. But who's the one who's the problem here? He doesn't believe, Well, he doesn't believe. Tov. Okay. So what's this case? So we're in the middle of the case. So the case is this time they're hidden. Right? The first case we learned, so we've got the differences between. We need to keep our situations distinct and keep them live so that we can compare one against the other. Right? Because then we're going to learn what the Gemara is now teaching me, because we learned something very similar. So what's the difference now? And now I'm going to draw out the learning, because I'm going to see what the difference is and why the rules change.
The witnesses are under the curtain. They're listening, but they cannot see him.
Tom, it's a good question. It's a good question.
We learned in the beginning, they're asking many questions.
You're right. They would have to see. So we would have to understand at this point that they would also see. They could also peep from behind the curtain and see him, because if they just heard a voice, then it wouldn't be enough. You're right. Tov. Okay. So, so he has two people behind the curtain. He says to him, "You owe me money." And the other one said, "Hey, yes, I do." Now, Amar, he then said to him, A then says to B, Eire v'shochve lehevu alach sahade. Eire v'shochve, people who are awake and people who are asleep. Lehevu alach sahade will be your witnesses. Right, would you allow, it's a funny way of saying, we don't have the expression nowadays, people who are awake and people who are asleep. Right, someone said that to you, say, what on earth are you talking about? Right, but obviously that meant something. Right, people who are awake and people who are asleep. Right, are going to be witnesses to what you just said. What's he saying? He's saying, in effect, he's saying, would you allow people who are awake or asleep to witness what you just said? Meaning, do you stand behind what you just said? So much so that if there were people, right, we're in the bedroom, so Tom, right? People were here, either if they were awake or if they were asleep, you'd still be saying the same thing, right? You'd still, if you admit that what you're saying to me now, you'd say in front of witnesses, right? Amale lo. Says to him, no, I wouldn't say that, I wouldn't admit this if there were people here. Amar Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana said about this, that's the end of the incident, said about this, Ha amar leilo. He told him no. Therefore, it's not valid.
That's not what I said.
That's not what you said.
Would you admit it if there were people around?
No, but he was asked. But he was Dafka asked. Here, what's the problem? Why do we, ultimately now we go with B when B says, yeah, I agree that I owe you money. Right, I know that you owe me money. That's why I set up the whole situation. I got two friends in to hear it and whatever. Well, I'm about to go to court because you owe me the money. And I bring you along and you say, I say, you owe me that money, right? I've got you on tape. You owe me that money, right? And you say, yeah, I do. And you say, psh. And you say, but you know that's not enough because I need to designate witnesses or whatever, right? So I say, would you say that if there were people here too? So no. So what does that mean? That means he's really lying and he really owes the money, or he's really not lying because he would never say it in front of witnesses? Because what Rav Kahana says, when he says, no, I would never say it, it means he doesn't admit it. It means he's not appointing witnesses. I'm not appointing witnesses. It doesn't mean he's lying. We don't take it to mean, which is what we could say, right, I think, which is what the line you're going down is, that he says, for sure I never say that in front of witnesses. I don't want anyone to take me to court on it. I'm telling you for sure. You know I owe you the money, right? I can't lie to you. I'm not going to say it in front of witnesses. Right? And then for sure we would understand he's definitely lying. He He definitely owes him the money. That's why he doesn't want to say it in front of witnesses. Rav Kahana says, no, the opposite. The fact that he says, I wouldn't say that in front of witnesses, means that he doesn't stand by his own words. We believe him that he doesn't want witnesses because it's not true. Not the other way. He doesn't want witnesses because it is true and he doesn't want to have to pay up. Yeah, let me just see if there's a Rashi that says. Alright, what's that? Rashi on the awakening and sleeping witnesses. Yeah.
Let's say he say, you owe me money. They say, yeah, you, I owe you money. And we ask him, can you say this for two witnesses? He say, no, why? Do you believe me? Understand?
It could be true.
Yeah, of course.
But we're saying it. We're kind of saying it's not true. We don't accept. When these two witnesses come to court and they say we were there, and he said, not only did he say he owed it to him, but that's not enough because we've already had that case where two witnesses who weren't appointed say that they heard that he said he owed it to him. But not only that, on top of that, we now have an additional statement where he admits that he would never say that in front of the witnesses. It's not enough to make him liable, because Rav Kahana said that statement can be understood to mean that he doesn't want witnesses, he's not admitting it, that it is true. He's agreeing for whatever other reason. He's keeping him happy, he's joking, whatever. He's got another reason for Dafka not admitting for appointed witnesses. You could for sure look at it the other way around and say it clearly indicates he's trying to get out of paying. But that's not the way the Gemara goes with it. Let's see the second incident, which is similar, and we'll see if we can draw any more conclusions. Hahu da'achmin edim bekivra lachavre. There was this guy who hid witnesses in a graveyard for his friend, right behind the gravestone or wherever, behind the bush. I don't know why the graveyard and why the bedroom. It's not clear to me, but Tom, why? We're going to see here, because he says, here in the bedroom he said the awake and the sleeping. Here he's going to say, do you agree the living and the dead should be witnesses?
No, maybe.
Right, so they're the...
Maybe,
right, so that's what he said. So there is kind of like the reason why he's in the bedroom, but reason why he's in the graveyard, right? But quite why you need those two options.
Well, you would normally not expect witnesses.
What, to be dead?
Maybe
yeah, you wouldn't expect a dead witness. Nahon, I mean, the dead nahon, can't hear anything.
Then, nahon, so then you, in the Gemara language, you say, pshita. That's obvious. The Gemara doesn't need to tell me that. Gemara is coming to tell me something that it chose a scenario of being in a graveyard.
I mean, there's two different scenarios. There are two examples.
Yeah.
What's in common with both? That's the question.
What's in common and what's different?
Right.
And why you need... Two, what does the second one show you that the first one doesn't?
Right.
Okay, so they're the questions that we need to ask ourselves.
Is it a quiet place?
It's a quiet place?
No, it's more than that.
No, in the shuk there would be other people.
Yeah,
so here was Dafka showing that they were hidden. There wouldn't be any other people.
Well, in both locations, you would not expect to have witnesses there.
Okay. Oh, okay, that's also good. All right, so let's see what happens in the second case. Amale, so he says to him, Manali biyadecha, manali biyadecha. You've got a manner of mine, you owe me money. Amale, hen, says to him, yes, you're right. Same case. Says to him, Chaye umeti le'adhualach sadeh. Would you allow the living or the dead to witness what you just said? Amalei lo. Says no. Amar Rav Shimon. Ha amalei lo. Here he said no. First case and the second case to me seem to be the same case. I'm not clear what the difference is between those two cases. It's the same law. It's the same ruling. Appears to be the same situation. Right? One's in the bedroom. And he says to him, would you agree that the sleeping or the awake could be witnesses? He said no. And then we go with his no. Mm-hmm. He's in the graveyard. He says, would you agree that the living or the dead could be witnesses? He says no. And we agree with him. What's the difference?
In the first case, on the footnote, it says that if he had said yes, he's willing to risk the possibility that there was actually someone awake.
Yeah.
Footnote 3.
Why wouldn't that be the case in the graveyard?
No, in the behind his curtains.
Yeah, no. Why wouldn't that? Why is that different in the graveyard?
He wouldn't expect anyone
to be alive.
Yeah. At least
don't
that's
know.
What I'm assuming.
Don't know. It's not clear to me that's the case.
But I mean, why are they here? Why are the two examples?
Tov. Anyway.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like this guy who punctuates things here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's
the
he say?
First low, it's a low with a quotation marks around it because somebody said it.
Yeah.
The second low, quotation marks with dots under it. Now, I don't know why the dots under it.
Oh.
Dots under it. Well, yeah. See, in the first row, without the dots. Same story, except the first one, he didn't put the dots under the word.
I called him up and say, what did you mean? It's not one of his simanims.
Something's going to continue.
It's kind of simanim. It's a simanim.
It has simanim.
It's coming up with well, under the word,
not after. No, under the word. So usually he uses the simanim to compare two sugyas. If you see the same siman somewhere else on the page, he's showing that the two go together. But no. Yeah, it's a Kabbalistic thing. Three dots. I mean, Hochma bina dat. Right. So.
It's the Abba Ima.
That could be letting books.
Definitely.
I don't know if your beard's grey enough yet.
Definitely.
Now, Tom, anyway.
We still haven't answered the question.
What question?
Why these two examples are here. And what are the differences and what are the similarities?
There's a few questions. There's lots of questions. I haven't answered all of them. Tov. Amar Ravina. Ravina said, Vitamei Rab Papa, some say it was Rab Papa. Shmamina, that we can learn from this, right, what with these two incidences that we just learned about. Meha, we can learn from this. Hada Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, the thing which Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. What did he say, Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav? Sarich sheyomer atem idei. Adai. He needs to say, you are my witnesses. Veloshina kiyama love, veloshina kiyama malve. Doesn't matter whether the debtor said it or whether the malve said it, but shatikle, and then the debtor was silent, and he was silent. Right? You need to appoint witnesses, let's just finish the end of what Rav Yehuda says. Ta'ama dama lo velo. Since the debtor said no, like in our case where he said no, aval im shatik hachinami. But if he would have been quiet, it would have been okay. Because he said no, he learned the fact that he said no, and if he would have been quiet, so he learned that second bit. So let's see what he learns. So he's learned Rabbi Hood in the name of Rab is learning from this that witnesses have to be appointed. How do they need to be appointed? Either it doesn't matter who appoints them. So if one of them says that these two guys are going to be the witnesses, that's enough. If it came from the debtor, the one who owes the money. The one who owes the money, who's going to be the defendant, if he says the guys are witnesses, then that's acceptable. But if the other guy says, the one who's trying to make the claim, A, says, and these guys are going to be the witnesses, the living or the dead, the sleeping or the awake, if he stays silent, it's good enough. They're good witnesses. They're appointed. But if he says no, so they're not appointed. What we're learning, for witnesses to be witnesses, they have to be agreed witnesses, either implicitly or explicitly. Right? Either because they were appointed, like he said, by him, and he agreed that these guys are going to be testifying against you, fine. Or because he stayed silent and he could have objected at the time to them being witnesses. Right? If I'm about to lend some money and I say, here, take this 100 shekel and give me back tomorrow, okay? And these two guys here, they're going to be the witnesses that I just given it to you. If you stay silent, these two guys are the witnesses. But if I give it to you and say, and these two guys are going to be witnesses, okay? You say, no, I know who these guys are. Might be your friend, I know who they are. No, they're not my witnesses. So they're not witnesses. They don't count. A what?
Something that would have happened with the sheep herders if we didn't whether they can be accepted as witnesses or not?
No. That's, no, they weren't.
No, someone who presumed to be a thief.
Yeah, no, that's a different grounds. Different grounds. That wasn't about.
No one objects that they witnessed, even if they were or whatever.
Yeah, but not at the time. Meaning at the time that they were. So they need to be accepted as witnesses at the time, or at least not objected to, in order to be witnesses. Okay, good. Top. Next, how are we doing time? Oh, a few minutes. Let's see. Next case. There was this guy. The Hava Karule, that they would call him Kav Rashu. What's Kav Rashu? Male Kav Shtarot Yeshalav, says Rashi. He had a Kav full of debt hanging over him. The guy who was known as the debt guy, right? The borrower, the whatever, right? He was known, that was his nickname. Right. Cab is, yeah. It's not a small measurement, right? It's a cab full of debt. Who's known as. He's the. Top full of debt.
That was a buck.
A what?
Buck.
A buck?
A
dollar is a buck. Yeah. A buck. Shtarot is a document, a note, prominent, like a meter.
It's on the American, no? Bucks, it's on the American.
I heard it somewhere in a movie somewhere. apparently it means pound sterling.
Yeah. Ooh. No, pound sterling is more valuable.
Right, top. Not anymore. Yes, okay.
Your Majesty.
I should stand when I say that. Top. Okay. So, what did the guy say? So this was a guy who was known as the debtor, right? What did he say? Man masik bi ela ploni uploni. Who has a claim against me other than ploni and ploni? Right? He was, what's he saying? Everyone was saying, going around saying this guy owed lots of money. And he went and said, look, I don't know why people are saying I owe lots of debt. Truth is, I only owe John Smith $100 and Peter Jones, $200. That's it. So what happened? Atu Tavu, Ladina, Kame, Durav, Nachman, these two guys, Plony and Plony, came to before judgment and said, there we go. He said in front of witnesses, he owed me, John Smith, $100, and Peter Jones said he owed me $200. He said it in front of witnesses, right? Is that good enough? He admitted it in front of witnesses. Do we believe him in that case? So in front of Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman said, "Adam asui shelo lahasfia et atzmo. A person may make himself to shelo lahasfia et atzmo, not to make himself shelo lahasfia et atzmo. He's not here. He's not satiated, meaning he's not got a lot of money. Meaning." Laspia, to be satiated, right? He wants to show that he's not got a lot, so he can make up debts in order to show that he is not loaded. So even though here he was known to have debts, and here he wasn't, here there was reason to suspect that what he was saying is telling the truth, because he was trying to limit his debts. He was trying to say that there's only these two debts, and it's not the whole cab that everybody's saying I owe lots to everyone. And frankly, I only know two people. Even in this case, we still don't necessarily believe him, meaning we don't believe that it's true, if he makes a claim that it's not true. If he says, no, I was only joking, I didn't mean that I actually owed 100 to him, 200 to him. Right? We can believe the debtor when he says that. Why? Because we still understand that people are likely to make up debts in order to, certainly in those days, probably not now, but maybe in those, to show that they're not wealthy. Even though in this case it was dafka the opposite, is to try to show that he had less debts, not that he had more debts. Normally we said before, when a person says that he owes money, it's to show that he has more debts outstanding. So people don't come and try and take money off him and get jealous of him or whatever. He says, you know what, I don't have a lot of money. I owe this one, I owe that one. He's trying to show that he's got less money. But in this case, he was actually trying to show that he had less debts. The opposite. Less debts, not less money. But we still go by the same reasoning. That a person does invent debts in order to make people think that he doesn't have so much. And therefore, we don't necessarily believe witnesses when they say that they heard someone say that he had debts. We can believe the individual when he says, no, I was just making it up to make myself sound less wealthy.